Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. Today I'm here to do another TV season review. This is going to be for the newest addition to the MCU, at least until a couple of weeks' time with Fantastic Four. But this is here to talk about season one, currently season one, of Ironheart on Disney Plus, the newest Marvel TV series. I'm your host Matthew, and let's go to stay spoiler free, go to our rating system. We've got strong must see. Must see, don't skip, possible skip, skip, and hard skip. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick a rating system and then pick a number, and then I'm going to explain it to you because that's what I like doing. I'm going to give this a must see, so not a strong must see, a must see, and a 7 out of 10. The reason for that, and again, I can, you know, overthink the rating and all that kind of stuff, but that's the whole point, right? Is I fully recognize, and I'm not dismissing, there are some wobbly, wonky, and some bad parts to this show. That there certainly is. However, and I'm going to explain something in a second. However, the parts that were really great in this series, to me, trump the bad parts of this series. Because when the good parts were happening, it's not that I dismissed or forgot the bad parts, but they caused me to feel better about them. Interestingly, I remember about a week or so before the first three episodes came out, and, you know, the reviews had started coming out, and one thing that was pointed out is the series is, you know, not great, a bit boring at points, but the finale is really, really great. Now, I don't agree with all of those parts, but the finale really is quite excellent. And I'm not going to sit here and say that the finale saved the season, because I think there's some good parts in... episodes 5, 1... and some others sprinkled within the other episodes. There is a very big spoilery part of this show, which also helps the finale to be excellent. But I can't mention what it is in here, because this is the spoiler-free part, and it is a massive spoiler. So, for those of you that haven't seen the show and don't know what happens in it, you'll just have to trust me that... There's a particular thing in the finale that I was actually spoiled on, but I'm not going to spoil it for you, because I watched these episodes like a day later or so, and when I heard that thing was in the finale, I thought, oh, that's really, really cool. And I heard that it was not just a great idea, but, you know, it's a really, really, really good part of, like, what makes the finale great. And I fully agree with that. I thought that part was absolutely fantastic, and I really, really love what they did there. But, excuse me, more on that later. If I'm to look at these 6 episodes, which Marvel dumped out in 2 slots, you may as well just put all 6 of them out at once, but whatever. I think to literally cut the bad stuff and the wonky parts and the wobbly parts out of this series, I don't necessarily know that you need to add new parts. I think you just needed to go back into the editing room and just strip certain things down. Now, what's interesting about this, and one of the modern day TV complaints, which I understand, is while we don't need 23 episodes, we do sometimes get seasons that, you know, are 6 or 8 episodes instead of 10 or 13. And, you know, the more episodes you have, the more time you have to flesh things out. I actually think this has got 2 episodes too many. Because when I got to about episode 5 and things started picking back up again, and I looked back and sort of episodes 3 and 4 roughly, and I thought, okay, this could have just ran much smoother if you just had cut certain things out. Now, granted, if you go to more of the stuff that's great, sure, you could add more of those bits in, but in order to just go back in the editing room like to avoid filming new parts and to make this show better, all you needed to do, I think, was go back in the editing room and just chop some bits out. Because for me, with this show, once I've now obviously gotten to the end, I can fully see what they were trying to do. And if I can see what, you know, a showrunner or a writer is trying to do with the series, but they're not quite pulling it off, but they are at times, but they aren't at other times, but then when they really are pulling it off very well, I can completely see the, you know, the vision, as they say, and I really, really liked what was there. It's just when, and it's not even the case of the show gets in the way of itself. I don't think it's really that sort of problem. That's like a different thing. But when it does, like, the parts that just last a bit too long and you're kind of meandering a little bit, you could have just cut those out. So I actually think it's quite a simple, because don't get me wrong, when I was in the moment and I was watching those bits and I was kind of just waiting for the scenes to kind of finish, I was kind of like, ah, oh, this is letting me down. I'm feeling let down by this. I should have explained this at the start as well. So for Riri Williams, her character, I really, really loved her introduction in Wakanda Forever, the second Black Panther film. I thought she slotted in there really, really great. I liked her from the start. I like, is it Dominique something she's called? Dominique Thorne. I really like her as Ironheart or Riri Williams. I think she's great. I think she fits the role really well. She's a bit newer of a Marvel character, actually. She's not been, I don't think, around terribly, terribly long, but I really, really like her and really like the sort of the idea of her. Because even from day one, I never looked at her and thought, oh, you're just Tony Stark's replacement, but a woman. I never really kind of looked at her like that, because you can have more than one Iron person walking around. Heck, we still have Rhodey walking around somewhere, wherever he is, for the Armor Wars thing. What's ever going to happen with that? But so she was introduced there, and then I think we already knew Ironheart was coming out. I can't quite remember. You're talking a few years ago, but I think Ironheart was already announced before Black Panther came out, and we knew she was going to be introduced in Black Panther. And I thought they got off to the right step there, and I was just really, really excited for the Ironheart series, just to see more of the character, to see her get fleshed out, to see her have her own spotlight. It does kind of feel with this, and I said this in the, not the preview, but the trailer talk podcast I did, it sort of feels like Marvel is just pushing this out to, not to get rid of it, but to just sort of get it out the door. Especially with the sort of, they haven't really promoted it much. There was a couple of trailers and then the sort of 2 week, you know, 6 episode push out kind of thing. I would still rather them do that than, you know, do a tax write off or something, because I'm glad I saw the season, because I did really like it in the end. Again, just to, you know, be balanced and be clear. Again, when I was in the moments of those kind of like poorer scenes, I was sort of, okay, can we move past this? Can we do whatever we need to do in these scenes and just get back to the parts that are much better? So yeah, even with a short 6 episode season, although some of the episodes are about an hour, so it's not like short, I've seen 6 episode seasons that have been shorter than this. I just think a bit of work in the editing room could have really boosted this thing even more. Because there's some really great stuff in here that I really enjoyed. Just to speak about some of them, the character development I quite liked. I quite liked not just Riri herself, but the parts with, I think it was her friend, and then like her mother. And I really enjoyed how those relationships came together. As somebody who is a fan of diversity as well, I quite like the sort of, let's say, black cultural touches to this series. I thought that was good. It's got like some good black music moments and things like that. Not in the way that Sinners does it. Sinners does it in like a very, very special way. But it's got a bit of that, it's got some of that sprinkled in there. And I thought it was just nice. It was pleasant. And I enjoyed those parts. I thought that was really good. There's a few other bits and pieces that go towards that. Again, just little touches, little sprinkles of that, again, the diversity kind of stuff, and like the black culture kind of stuff. It's touched upon and sprinkled in there, and there's some, particularly with a certain small dance scene. I thought that was a really nice. If you've seen the episode, you know what I'm talking about. But there's a little dance scene, and I do mean little dance scene, later. Again, nothing like what Sinners does, but it was those just added up to some nice moments. I just thought it was nice, so that was good. Yeah, I really loved where they concluded this thing as well. I'm looking at this and looking at the ending, I'm like, right, sign me up for a season two. Just make sure you spend a little bit more time in the editing room. Because I didn't necessarily, that's the thing, even though I'm sitting here saying you could maybe chop out maybe an episode's worth, maybe two episodes was a bit much. You'd need to do some other editing, but I think if you chopped out like an episode, but then if you maybe take one of the longer episodes and chop that down, so like an episode and a half-ish maybe, I think you have something even better. But I don't actually think you need to add episodes here, because if you went in the editing room, chopped those bits out, took like an episode or so out, you could still end up in the same excellent place that you do, but you could just get there much smoother and much quicker. I don't think you needed to add too much, because from where we start this season one and where we end it, I think that's a pretty decent first, like, it's not even an introductory season, because we're already introduced to her. It's kind of a sort of, again, because the way the MCU works and we see characters every 3 to 5 years, it was sort of catching back up with her, seeing what's going on with her, putting her kind of back on the table, finishing setting up her character, if you will, and then sort of setting her on her next path. And I thought they did that job very well, so I quite enjoyed that. So yeah, but I liked the really good bits, and I was like, I never hated anything I saw in the season. I was never kind of, I don't know if I outright disliked anything particular going on. It's just, I think it's just more of a pacing issue, and not necessarily a structural issue really, more of a just kind of pacing thing, which again is odd, I know it's odd to say for only 6 episodes, but just in and around the sort of episode 3 to 4 bits, it kind of slows down a little bit, I think. So that's my thoughts on that. I felt like I had so much more to say, but there's a good chunk of things to talk about in the spoiler section as well. Some things I'm really, really looking forward to talking about. But now it's just kind of a case of, okay, you gave me a first season that I quite enjoyed, with recognizing some bits that I thought were not great. And again, it's important to give distinctions on particular words and particular descriptions I'm giving. I did say some of this in here was bad, and I mean just badly done, which again, editing room. But I didn't say, because I did just say a minute ago that I didn't dislike anything that was going on. It's just some things were not done very well, or in some cases they were done badly, but I don't necessarily think this was an ideas problem, because the ideas, I can fully see what you were going for, and you did get there in the end, but it's just some of those pacing, some of those editing choices, I think. So if you just clean that, honestly, if you come back for season two, which, okay, do I actually think it's going to get a second season? I don't think it's going to. I don't think it's going to. I think we'll see Riri again, because I do think that you'll probably get a Black Panther 3, you'll maybe get, I know there's like the Eyes of Wakanda series, I think it's called. You are going to get more Black Panther content, certainly. But in terms of, will Riri Williams get a second season of her own show? I'm not sure about that, especially given the way that Marvel kind of put this out, I think, as well. So, although, I could be wrong, maybe they're planning a second season and I have no idea. So, I don't know. But looking at what season one offered and how you could fairly easily improve it in the second season, I don't think it will take a gigantic effort to improve a second season. Once this first season ended, I was like, right, you've set yourself up to where you could definitely make a better, more just like, yeah, just better second season that will just improve things even more. But I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not sure specifically where Riri will show up next. Like, okay, if you do a Black Panther 3, which that's probably on the cards. I don't think it's been announced, but it's probably on the cards. Is Riri going to be in a Black Panther 3? I don't know. What would make sense to do next, I think, because we don't really know what's going on with Armor Wars and Don Cheadle's Rhodey, because I think they changed Armor Wars from like a series to a film. Put her in there with him, I think, because that gives you an opportunity to, first of all, catch up with what the hell's going on with Rhodey, because obviously there was all the Secret Invasion stuff. Clean that up. You know, to tell a story there. Obviously, you've got Don Cheadle also. You've got a really great opportunity, and then try and connect something there together. The only other caveat to that is there's an attempt. I'm not going to spoil it here, but there's an attempt to do things with magic in this show, and I'm not sure how that lines up to what Armor Wars would be, although I don't really know what Armor Wars is supposed to be, because nobody really knows what that is. I'm just trying to think of where we could see Riri popping up next, and I just don't think it's in a second season of this show. Would I take a second season of this show? I absolutely would, because you just got to edit it better, and just... You set something really great up as well here at the end of the first season. I'd love to see where it's going to go. That's not to say it won't. I just don't know where that's going to be. And I don't necessarily know that the thing you've set up, not just the magic parts, but the thing you've set up for the end of season one, I don't know how like a Rhodey pair up. I don't know how that works together. Maybe it does in a way that I'm not thinking of. I mean, I don't have Kevin Feige's brain. But yeah, there's some options there. I'm just not exactly sure where that is. Plus the Black Panther stuff and whatever else. So I'm not sure. Because I think it makes sense next to maybe pair her with somebody, and he makes the most sense, and I'm not sure who else does necessarily. But we're gonna have to go through all of, you know, Doomsday, Secret Wars, Spider-Man, Fantastic Four. We're gonna have to go through all those next big parts next, and then probably see Riri in about 3 years time or something. So we have to see. Anyway, that's my spoiler free parts of my review for Ironheart. I did enjoy it. I do recognize some wonky, off and bad parts. Again, I think a lot of stuff could be fixed in the editing room. Just to trim and cut some things. That's honestly all I think you need to do. I don't really know that you've got a writing problem here necessarily. I think it's just editing, really. So, yeah. Because this thing at the moment, I'm looking and it says 4 out of 10 on IMDb. I think that's really harsh. Rotten Tomatoes is an 86. Screen Rant is a 6 out of 10. IMDb is 4 out of 10, the Google user rating is a 2.6, that's really low. Anyway, those are some review numbers for you. But for mine, it's a must-see and a 7 out of 10. So, I might do a podcast one day, not like today or something, but... like, fully, because the rating system that I use is a bit deeper than what I've actually explained. So maybe I should do a podcast at some point and, like, properly, fully explain, it, like, in my own head, how the, okay, if I'm saying must see in a 7, but a 7's known to be average, but I'm saying must see, because there's a way that that works within my own brain, because it's my own rating system. So maybe I'll explain that one day, who knows. Anyway, if you've seen Ironheart, if you've not seen Ironheart, are you going to watch it based off of what I've just said? It is quite short anyway, so if you want some Marvel content to tie you over until Fantastic Four, which I think is the end of the month, you can check out Ironheart. I mean, they're not going to be related to each other, but anyway, if you want some Marvel content that you've not seen yet, Ironheart is there waiting for you, and I recommend it. So, yes, anyway, that's it for the spoiler-free part. If you've got any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments, have you seen the show? Did you like it more than me, less than me, or about the same? And what do you think of some of the particular comments I've made. Do you agree, disagree, or something else? Let me know. Matthew@entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. I'm going to do the outro here and then go into the spoiler section. So in the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org for TV, games, films, and Main Night. I podcasted a bunch of film reviews recently, did 28 Years Later, did Elio, which, in case you didn't know that Elio exists, because some people don't, Elio exists, and guess what, it's a new Pixar film, so that's a big deal, so I recommend that as well, and I recommend 28 Years Later, so I've done those. Speaking of the MCU, I did recently review Thunderbolts, which sadly nobody seemed to watch. The film I'm talking about, so there's that as well. Gaming Talk, we did another one yesterday. There was also, can't quite remember like everything off the top of my head, but go to entertainmenttalk.org or find us on podcast platforms by Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, Main Night podcasts. If you want to support more of what we do, of course you can listen to more things by going to the places I've just mentioned, so check everything out. And you can use word of mouth social media. If someone mentions something we've podcasted on, please tell them about the podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geektown Radio is on hiatus right now, but you can still go to geektown.co.uk for all of your TV and film news. The posts are still going out, so look at those. And of course, you can find us as well on YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays, for all the random video game stuff. Anyway, thanks for listening. And I'll see you on the other side for the spoiler section. Don't follow me in there if you can't or can't. Whatever, you know what I mean. I'll see you for a minute in the minute, for the spoiler section. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talk's podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review, so it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Alright, it's time for the spoiler section. If you've not seen season 1 of Ironheart, you're going to want to leave, unfortunately, unless you don't mind being spoiled or whatever your situation is. But go and watch the show, come back, and then listen to this. That's my suggestion. Anyway, because I'm going to get into a very big spoiler first, and it's going to be the spoiler that I hinted at earlier. So if you don't want to know what happens, basically in the finale, that's going to be my first talking point, because I can't wait to talk about it. Mephisto is finally here in the MCU. He was being talked about all the way back in WandaVision, which I believe was in 2021. I deliberately never looked up anything about Mephisto, because I didn't want to know. I got an idea of who that character might be based on the way that people were talking about him, but I didn't like fully understand what he was, how he worked, who he was, you know, all that sort of thing. Now there's 2 kind of parts to this, one of which I don't really mind too much, which is, okay, it is a little bit odd that you've introduced him in Ironheart, but that's fine, because also his conversations with Riri and just everything else he did was really, really awesome. I am thoroughly, thoroughly impressed and intrigued by this character. But again, where is he actually going to show up next? That's kind of like, a lot of people talk about, okay, what's the MCU's current problem? And everybody's got their own things. But to me, one of the MCU's problems right now is, like, you see a story about a character and then you don't see them for 3 to 5 years, and it just takes so long to continue their story. But there's not much that can be done about that, unfortunately. So again, in terms of Riri, in terms of Mephisto and everything that's really cool that happened there, all of it was great. I loved all of it. I really, really did. I'm very, very intrigued by this character. He's played by what's this guy's name? Say it properly. Sacha Baron Cohen, which I thought I recognised that name. He is indeed the guy who I think played Borat. Now, I watched the first Borat film when I was younger and thought it was a bit weird, and I never watched the second one, and that's my thoughts on Borat. Much prefer him in this role. Like, I remember when I first heard a rumour about, oh, the guy who's playing Borat is playing this Mephisto guy, and I was like, that doesn't sound right, that doesn't sound like a good idea. I don't think I've seen him in much else that he's done, but he is really, really, really good in this role. I loved his, like, presence, and just everything about him. I just thought was really, really cool. Where does he go next? What does he fit into? Where will he show up next? No idea. We'll pin that problem for later, just like the MCU's been doing recently. I love the scene when, I don't think it was her sister, was it her friend, I think it was, that got shot? When she comes back, and you can tell straight away that, like, oh, that's, I don't think that's an AI version of her friend, and it seems that he did bring her back to life. Again, just, every single time this guy opened his mouth and delivered dialogue, I was just like, I can't wait to see what this guy does next. I'm really, really excited that we've got Mephisto finally in the MCU. And yes, given now that I know, again, I still don't know everything, because I've seen this character for about 20 minutes or so. If you could give him his own Disney Plus series or his own film, I'd be there for it day one. I think that would be really, really awesome. But I can now kind of get a bit of an understanding of how he would have worked in WandaVision, although the idea ended up being a bit different there. So, but there's, because we have so many MCU characters, and we do, we arguably maybe have too many, but whatever. Like, how the MCU has landed in a situation where there's so many characters who could have so many interesting interactions with people. I could sit here and name dozens of different pairs of people that I would love to see get paired up. But you think of, like, what's a conversation between, like, Deadpool and Mephisto? Or Spider-Man and Mephisto? Or, well, Mephisto and anybody in the MCU. Thanos, and I know Thanos is dead, whatever. But, yeah, and just seeing how he would deal with an individual, would just be really, really, really cool. So, I love him. I think he's great, and I can't wait to see more of him whenever that's going to be. I liked the magic angle that this show took. I wasn't sure where they were going with it at one point, but then they interestingly kind of tied it in with Riri's suit, and that's how he ended up defeating the Hood. The Hood, I thought, was a pretty decent character. I would be curious to see more of him, but I did find it kind of interesting, and I quite liked how, you know, there was something mysterious about him. And again, the Hood, this character I knew nothing about. I knew basically nothing about any of these characters, apart from what we'd seen of Riri and Ironheart in Wakanda Forever. I didn't really know anything about basically any of the others, which is great. Because I don't need to know anything about a character before I see their story. You know, I don't need to look stuff up. I said the same thing about the Fantastic Four. But anyway. But yeah, he was cool. And I did quite like, actually, how he was, like, the intimidating one. He was the villain. He was the powerful one. And then Mephisto comes along, and you see how that story plays itself out. And how like no, like he's just a kind of beta, almost. Like he's the one who's being given an opportunity by Mephisto. So I thought that was I thought that was quite cool. Like, okay, the Hood is still a lot for Riri to deal with, but then there's a guy above that. So I thought that was handled fairly well. One thing I was intrigued by, that I was initially a bit disappointed by the conclusion of this character, and then they kind of brought back some scenes with him and it kind of made things a bit better. There's an actor called Manny Montoya, and he was he's called Kajino John. Kajino, he was kind of the Hood's right hand man, like his buddy or whatever. I really like that actor. He was in Good Girls, and he was really, really good in Good Girls. So I recognized him straight away and thought, oh, cool, he's in here. I can't wait to see what he does. Now, while I understand, because you can kind of see like there's a 3-episode arc there for him, then the Hood gets brought in as kind of even more of the main villain, and then obviously it transitions to Mephisto kind of taking over things. So I quite liked the sort of the two transitions there. Like this intimidating guy, but then this sort of mysterious guy, and then that gets a bit more revealed, and then one of them dies, and then, you know, eventually Mephisto comes along. I did quite like that, but because while I understood that, okay, when he died, and then that shadowy thing came around, which was probably Mephisto the whole time, and it transitioned to the Hood, it was like, okay, that character's arc is completed. I just liked that actor a lot, so I just wanted to see him in even more, which he was in a few scenes after that, so that was okay. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what he does next. Yeah, you got Lyric Ross as Natalie Washington. I thought she was quite cool. I quite liked her as the sort of AI best friend, the one that Riri was kind of grieving over. I liked the sort of AI idea here. Now, I've never been kind of, because one of the rumors for Ironheart Forever has been, okay, are you going to bring in Robert Downey Jr. to be the AI companion for Riri, to be like the mentor figure? While I don't think that's a bad idea, I do think you always run the risk of, like, not just Tony Stark being the bigger character there, but also, okay, you've got Robert Downey Jr. in there, like, kind of overshadowing her. While it's not a guarantee that he would overshadow her per se, but yeah, I actually think that this works better, like her best friend that she's grieving over. I do think that kind of works better than Tony Stark. So not as a character, but as the particular mentor thing. Because as I've seen with a lot of this conversation around Mephisto, it seems like more people are focused on, like, oh, what's Mephisto going to do next, rather than just, okay, let's talk about Riri's actual story. And I think the same thing would happen if you brought Robert Downey Jr. in as, like, the AI companion for Riri. I understand it's the Iron Man legacy, right? Or the Iron Person legacy. But yeah, I actually do think this works better, so that was pretty good. I wasn't sure about Zeke. Is it Zeke? Alden Ehrenreich's character. He played the young Solo in Solo. I didn't gel with him at all at first. I was like, okay, why is this character kind of here? And then there was this, like, story with his neighbor. That's the bits where, like, I get that you were maybe trying to showcase his anger and stuff, but it was like, okay, I don't know that I need this in here. Like, you can present it as a bit of an idea of his anger, but you didn't need to make, like, a mini side story out of it. Like, there was, like, one or two too many scenes, so again, a bit of trimming there. The other place where I mainly think you could have trimmed things, because I know I've not really talked about this yet, is with the Hood's group. I think all of them are decent characters. The problem I'm having a little bit at the moment with side characters in the MCU, which obviously all of those characters are side characters, they're all quite cool in their own way, I'd know, like, outright problem with them, is like, okay, because we already have so many main big characters, and a few that we haven't seen for a while, like Rhodey, for example, is a main big character. It's like, okay, when I see these sorts of people get introduced, because you're already trying to develop Riri in the series, right? And then you've got the Hood thing going on, and then Mephisto and everything else. How much investment or care should I put into these characters? Not because I don't like them. I think they were useful additions for what the purpose that they served. And did you need that many of them? Maybe? I don't know. I get that they all had their role in the group. Like, you had Slug, who was the tech person. I thought they were quite interesting, actually. And then you have, like, the two that were the muscle people. It was Zoe Terex's, this is blood sibling. Like, if you look at, let's say, I know they killed Stuart, but then Riri kind of took his place, Eric Andre. And then you had Zoe Tarakas' blood sibling, and then I think it's called Regan Ilya as Zelma. Like, okay, did you need two kind of muscle characters? Because then you also did have Kijino as well. So I just wonder if you could have done a bit of, not cut them out of the show, because then some things wouldn't have actually worked, but just cut down their screen time slightly and maybe remove like one of the characters, because I don't think you needed all of them. Because the three that I remember from the group is Kijino, Blood Sibling, that's what it says here, and then Slug. Those are the three. Was there another one that I'm actually forgetting from this group? Because Zeke was not part of that group. Zeke was very much his own character. Was there another one, or was it all just all of them? Stuart got cut out of the show eventually. Anyway, yeah, that was kind of my own. And they do take up like a decent amount of screen time. And again, I understand their purpose with the Hood and everything else. But yeah, that's just some of my thoughts on that. Plus, it was also to kind of develop Riri and the whole trust thing, and you know, the USB drive and all that kind of stuff, which I thought was great. So yeah, what else do I want to talk about for the spoilers? I like the suits that she came up with. I really, really like the sort of final suit as well. I thought that was pretty great. Will we see the Hood again? Maybe. But then I'm looking at every single one of these characters like, okay, when are we going to see any? When? Not if, because I think we will see some of these again, and obviously I'm pretty sure you'll see Mephisto again. But where do the rest of them show up? I'm not really sure. But then you could like slot some of these characters into some of the street level stuff, maybe. Like, could you have some of these people show up in Daredevil season 2, or like maybe not in the Spider-Man film, because you've already got like Punisher's going to be in that, and maybe a few others. But we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it'll get a second season and you'll see all of these characters again, at least the ones that are alive, and you'll continue developing them further. Anyway, that's my thoughts on, if I missed anything, you can feel free to write in and I will talk about those things. But yeah, I liked it. Must see. 7 out of 10. And we'll just see where we see these characters next. I saw a few questions floating around, like for Mephisto, will he be in Secret Wars or Doomsday? I think Doomsday's first, isn't it? As we know at the moment with Doomsday, that film is pretty packed right now. You've got like obviously the Avengers characters, some of the old X-Men characters, Doctor Doom himself in there, speaking of Robert Downey Jr. Again, would love to see Mephisto talk to Doctor Doom. How would that go? Would love to see Mephisto talk to any Marvel character, because that would go very interestingly well. But I don't know that you're going to get the focus there all the time, really. It's going to be a very packed film. So, and I actually don't know much about Secret Wars, so I don't know if he fits in there, or what the MCU looks like after Secret Wars. I couldn't tell you these things, so I just have to wait and see. Anyway, thank you very much for listening, and yeah, I'll see you next time. Goodbye.